appreciate very much those that are here today. Those of you that are visiting, we're glad you're here, and we want you to come back. And if you haven't seen him for a while, I saw him a while ago. There's a man in the audience that's been gone for a long time. I think his name is David King, if I'm not mistaken. But he's sitting back there where he belongs. We're glad to have you back, David. Good to see you. Appreciate very much your being here today. Today I want to talk with you, sermon number two, on building up the church. Anybody interested in that? Oh, of course we are. How do we go about it? We already told you that we've got to listen to God. We got to go to the Word of the Lord. Find out what He has to say. And then whatever God gives us the authority to do, what are we going to do? We're going to do it. Why? Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7 and verse 21. We're going to do it because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has all authority. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. All power, Jesus said, hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We're going to do it. Why? Because Jesus tells us. We're not going to do anything that God, we do not have the authority for. We know that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Through thy word, the word of God, we know what we are to do to build up the kingdom of God. Number one, I want to suggest to you what Peter tells us. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, as we had read this morning, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, put all away. Don't engage in them, because they're not going to build up the kingdom of God. And he says, now, as newborn babes, desire something. What? Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed to men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are living stones. You, children of God, Christians, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. By whom? By Jesus Christ. Let me suggest you in the first place. One of the things that will help build up this church is that we all attend, that we come, that we're faithful. And it's a joy to see you. When I look back there to see David, he's been, I don't know, way out somewhere. But anyway, it's just a joy to see his face again. And then I see the various ones who have been sick and they're here today. It's a joy to see them. Why? They're my people. They're our people. We're in the family of God. What to build up the church when we're together. But you can't be together if you're not here. No wonder the Bible tells us in Psalms 122 and verse 1, I was glad. Oh boy, he wasn't mad. He wasn't sad about it. He said, I am glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My wife this morning wanted to come so bad. Oh, she said, but she just couldn't do it. But boy, she's really looking forward to next Sunday. Hopefully she'll be here. It would be a joy to her to be able to be back with you. We're people of God. We're the family of God. And we mean something to one another. And just coming together is a great joy. Like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, in Acts 20 and verse 7, have you ever thought about this? what it must have been like to be there when Paul was speaking to midnight? How many of you would have gotten a sleepy eye? Most of us would have probably already be out and saying, what in the world is wrong with that man? Preaching to midnight? I see he was going to leave the next day, Buzz. Remember that? And that's why they stayed. And they listened to midnight. They were God's people. Would you want to miss that service if you would have been in that area? If you're a part of that group, it might have been that you might have been sick and couldn't be there. Maybe some of your loved ones sick and they couldn't be there, had to attend to you. But if at all possible, if you knew Paul was preaching, surely if you were there, you wouldn't want to forsake the assembly. You wanted to be there. And upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, came together. How do you build up the church? You come together. You wine. Just think of all the things that people miss. First of all, in Hebrews 10, verse 25, the Bible tells us, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of it, some is, but exhort one another and so much more. You see the day approach. You miss out worshiping God. John 4, 23 and 24, that's what he desired. You miss out seeing me, seeing others. Why? You're not here. And then you're going to miss out yourself by not having the joy of being with God's people on earth that you believe as a member of the Lord's church, you ought to be. Yeah, Sunday night, you ought to be here. Start coming. You know, the Bible tells us in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, that we're to be ready unto every good work. Is it a good work for us to come together to worship on Sunday night? Then these young men have been preaching, and now they're making a change, which is great. And no, we ought to be here because we want to be here. It's a joy to be here. What about Wednesday night? Gospel meeting, vacation Bible school. Is that a good work? If it is, let's get with it. Let's be ready unto every good work. And just others being faithful certainly will inspire us to be faithful. Number one, it's a joy to attend worship with you. You're part of God's family, and when you're not here, we miss you. God misses you. And we just pray that we'll be persistent and be faithful in our attendance. Number two, one thing I learned a long time ago, and that is a little baby doesn't stay a little baby very long. James, you told me about that little sweet great-grandbaby that you have. Remember that? And what was it, a pound and a half or something like that? And now then, how much is she weighing, James? How many? Pound and 13 ounces, and how much you weigh now? Whew, look at that. Isn't that great, folks? 5-pound baby now. How in the world did that baby get that big that quick? Anybody know? I hope everybody does. Of course you know. That baby was fed. That baby was loved. That baby is growing. And they're rejoicing. And we're rejoicing. And I want to tell you something. I hope you're growing. I hope and pray that this church will have people that'll be stronger next year than we are now. Why? Because we're growing. Notice what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. What does God expect? Growth. On the part of whom? Those who are younger, middle-aged, older people. Everybody. How? Spiritually. Notice what he said that we read a few moments ago in 1 Peter 2, that you may grow thereby. How? By desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Knowing more about God's Word. And the more you learn, the more you study it, surely, just like that little baby, oh, how wonderful and thankful we are that she continues to grow. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, there's a passage you need to underline. Paul speaking to the elders, and notice what he said in Acts 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I've been trying to learn drugs. Boy, I take in hand a doctor and they'll say, well, we're going to put her on this drug. I don't know about it. It's hard for me to pronounce some of those drugs. Boy, some of them are about like this. Just like that doctor who was over all the doctors that over in Huntsville. And he told me what his name was, and I said, what? And he said, just call me Dr. V. I said, thank you, Dr. V. I can handle that one. But I couldn't handle the other. Friend, I'll tell you what. Build you up. You've got to study the Bible. You have to. It's the food for the soul. It'll build up this church when everybody is quoting and studying and learning more of God's precious truth. There's a contrast that God makes through the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5. Read with me, will you? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Don't stay that way. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A congregation is strong in the Lord when each Christian is growing and becoming stronger. They love the Lord. They're reading his word. They attend, and they're growing. You remember how that the Bible emphasizes, therefore, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Number three. I can't emphasize this point enough. Teach, teach, teach. In Matthew chapter 28, a passage that you may can even quote, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy, and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Notice it. Teach, teach, teach. Teaching what? What do you know? The Word of God. Who knows it? Those that are desiring the sincere milk of the Word. What are you ready to do? To share with others. Teach others. You want them the kingdom of God. In other words, pass it on. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible teaches that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica if they received the word with all readiness of man, and then they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Pass on what you've proven to be right. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed in Acts 19. Why? Because they had people like Aquila and Priscilla. Did you know Aquila and Priscilla were a couple? They're a couple. And I don't believe they're mentioned. Check this out. Well, everybody can. I don't believe Priscilla and Aquila is ever mentioned in the Bible separated. They're always spoken of together. Notice now what they do. I want to read it to you. And a certain man, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria and an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures. He knew what he had been taught. But look what the Bible says. And he began to speak boldly. I mean, what he said it confidently. This is what he thought he ought to speak. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They expounded unto him the way of God completely, more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily, isn't that great? He had already learned so much of the Scriptures. Now he knows the true plan of God. What is he doing with it now? Apollos mightily convinced the Jews in that publicly, showing by the Scriptures, not John the Baptist, but the Christ, the Son of God. But how was he able to do that? Because there were two people who loved him when they heard him. They took him aside, and they expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. Yes, we need to attend all classes. Some of you are not. Why don't you come? The church is growing with people doing what? Taking time to study, learning more about God's Word, sharing the truth with others. Why, when we get a church made up of all people that come to all the services, they're here and they're ready to do what they can in the kingdom of God. You'll see that church grow. And it'll grow spiritually as God would have it to grow. Number four, let's set a good example. If everybody was just like you or me, what kind of church would this be? Being an example is so powerful. In Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus said, Let your light so shine before men. That's your neighbors. That's your friends. That's the people you work with. That's the people you assemble with. You talk to people. You're doing what? You're shining a light. Where's it coming from? From the lighthouse of God. From His Word. What's the world seeing because of you? An example. An example of what? An example of being just simply a Christian. Paul wrote to Timothy in these words, Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul said, Follow me as I follow Christ. Do you want to say the same? If everybody, preacher, elder, deacon, everybody can say that, you can find because everybody will be shining their light brightly in the kingdom of God. Do what I do, Paul says, as I follow Christ. No wonder he could tell them, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Remember that rich man that came to Jesus? Matthew chapter 19, beginning verse 16. Oh, he wanted to go to heaven. Lord, what can I do? Tell me what I need to do, Lord. I want to be a follower of yours because I want to have everlasting life. And Jesus said, Well, keep the commandments. And he said, Which? And Jesus enumerated commandments to him. And the young man said, I don't follow that. What do I lack yet? Jesus said, If thou wilt be complete, perfect, go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor, and then you can come and follow me. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Lord, I want to have life eternal. Lord, when I die, I want to go and be in Abraham's bosom. Lord, I'm ready to do everything I can, Lord. Just tell me. Jesus said, Do it, and you'll lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, and then you can come and follow me. Did he want to go to heaven? Not too bad. Oh, the thought of it must have pleased him. Jesus said he was a good man, but yet he was not willing to do what? What the Lord told him to do. And he turned away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. You want your children to do what they see you do? Do you want your neighbors to be a neighbor like you? Be a church made up of people that are good examples, surely want to be strong. What does James say? Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself. Who? Keep yourself. We try to keep others walking the straight and the narrow. You want to turn church? Let none of us keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I know one thing. Friends, you and I in this congregation can live above the use of profane language, cursing, using profane language. We can live above that. I know that we can live above the use of strong drink. We know what it can do, what it's done for others, how many fathers and how many mothers, how many husbands and how many wives who have gotten themselves on strong drink and down they go to a road that leads to chaos. We can live above that. We can live and keep ourselves from adultery, stealing, quarreling, fighting. Because we have the Word of God, Galatians 5:19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that tells us, God said, don't do that. The church is looking to us. People are looking to us in the church. And what are they seeing? They're seeing people who know that they're hurting the church when they are drinking, when they're talking, and they're just like the world. When we believe in the righteousness of God, when we know, as Paul said in Titus 2, in verses 12 through 14, that we are people who are sober-minded, righteous, and zealous of good works, we can do it. What we need to do is always try to help others who are stumbling and help ourselves in our own weaknesses. Here was a woman married to somebody that's not a Christian. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. How is she going to convert that person? Just by being a good, solid Christian. Listen. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, by the life of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel. That won't get the job done. But let it be the hidden man of thine heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. How many of you women have lived so faithfully that have been able to do that? And your husbands today are Christians, all because of the life you have lived. Someone wrote, as a matter of fact, it was Scott Smelser, and I put that on the end of this, and I want to suggest to you, I think it works better than he talks about in evangelistic too. I think it works better than radio, better than auto dialers, better than showings of Jewel Miller film strips, better than mailing out a bulletin, better than dial a Bible reading, better than debates, better than cable TV. And what is? Well, listen, it's brethren not being conformed to the world. If a church is made up of people who understand 184 current and past issues or more correctly, but their lives do not show superior conduct, servitude, and holiness, don't expect an auto-dialer, computer, printer, broadcast antenna, or cable outlet to compensate for the failure. You'll not get the job done, and the church will not grow when they see us not practicing what we are teaching. And then he adds, when church members think like the world, they dress like the world, they talk like the world, and they chase money and status symbols like the world, it's the world that is winning them and not the other way around. He added, When church members are selfish, egotistical, arrogant, shallow, then they are not in a position to help the world to a higher plane. Why would anyone want to be a part of a group that are living like that? If our families are splitting up, our children are dropping out, our homes are very little different from our neighbors, then our light gets rather difficult to notice. You see? But if people learn self-denial, Luke 9, verse 20, learn submission to God and care for their neighbor, Matthew 22. Learn to be servants, John 13. Learn to be content, 1 Timothy 6, 8. Learn to invest in family, Titus 2, 5, Ephesians 6, 4, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And learn to clean out the inside of the cup, not just the outside, Matthew 23. Then bright lights will shine, because that is what people want to see. That you are a genuine child of God. And that helps to build up God's people. You're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellency of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Having your behavior seemingly among the Gentiles, that they may glorify God. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. Present your bodies. And may I say to all of us today, at O'Neill, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Don't be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're not called simply to know some things different from the world. We're called to rise above the world and to be. Peter 1, 15. And when people become that kind of light, it creates a tremendously great evangelistic tool. He concluded, and it will far exceed the effects of debates, radio, TV, and mail outs, even those might be helpful. But the most powerful, according to Scott Smelser, is when they see you and see me, and they see us as God sees us, He's got something powerful. And no wonder, by doing that, this church grows. Finally, when this church is built up full of Christians without ceasing, go to God day in, day out. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. He was told not to pray to anybody except the king there. Every day he went and he turned to his God, morning, noon, and night, and he prayed. Humble, kind, simple-worded prayers from the heart will help build up the church at O'Neill. Why? It's all from God. What are people longing for? You? Be part of something that they know is genuine. It is sincere. You're humble. You're kind. And you're good. No wonder Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. Concluded this sermon by a simple prayer. Dear God, help us at O'Neill to be a people that belong to you and seek to practice what you teach us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to work. Let's do what God says. Let's be the people of God that we want everybody to know about, because we want to go to heaven and we want to carry everyone we can with us. If you're not a Christian this morning, then why not obey the gospel, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized? How many people have been baptized in this baptistry? I have no idea. How many more? I have no idea. But I know that in order to get people in that baptistry, they've got to see people who believe what that baptism will do. Wash away your sins. Change your life. And be a kind of people that God wants you to be. And if you're a Christian and you haven't lived right, thank God we still have opportunity. Ask God to forgive you and let us join hands together with everyone. Elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, members, husbands, wives, children, parents, working together, serving God, and building up the kingdom for King Jesus that He wants here at O'Neill. If you're subject anyway to His invitation, come now and obey Him while together we stand.